I love that video. You know, I think the most important thankful thing that was in there was pets. That was repeated several times, so it's fun to be able to see that and to know that our kids are thankful. But what about you? What are you thankful for? You know, we're coming into the Thanksgiving time, and so it's time to consider how thankful we are. And so this morning, we're going to talk about that. And I don't know if you're like me. Probably I could be brutally honest for a second and say that it's always easier for me to find the things that are not so good, to complain about the things that I don't like, to be frustrated with things that aren't going the way that I want them to go, and to be willing to talk about that than it is to be thankful. And so as I was considering that this week, the thought that came to my mind was, what makes a thankful heart? Have you ever considered that question? What makes a thankful heart? How can I foster having a thankful heart? Well, this morning, we're going to look at a story found in Luke chapter 17. So I'd encourage you to take your Bibles, turn there with me to Luke chapter 17, starting at verse 11. This is the story of the 10 lepers. Luke 17, starting at verse 11. Now on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men with leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." When he saw them, he said, "Go show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well." Let's pray. Father, we really do have a lot to be thankful for. How amazing it is to watch our children as they list off the things that they're thankful for, and we even giggle a little bit at some of the things that they say. But the one thing we realize is they're truly thankful for that. And Lord, maybe sometimes we could use the heart of a child, or maybe the heart of one leper. Would you take these moments and would you increase our thankfulness? Because we know that you have been so good in so many ways. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This story, to me, is an amazing story. As we read, 10 lepers come to Jesus, and all 10 of them were healed by Jesus, and yet only one returned to bring him praise. What was it about this leper that was different than the rest of them? What made it to where he would return to give praise while the others did not? Well, I think when we take a look at this story, what we find is a heart of thankfulness that the man had. What are the things that are needed in order for us to have a heart of thankfulness? We're entering this Thanksgiving time, and it's easy for us to sit down and we talk about it. It's Thanksgiving, so it's like, okay, what are you thankful for? And we can say those things, but what is it that gives us a thankful heart the rest of the year, not just one day out of the year? Well, in this story, we see several things. One item that we understand is recognizing our need. Do we truly recognize our own need? You know, it's true that it's hard to be thankful for something when we don't see the need for it, right? I mean, if everything is great, we find in ourselves that it's actually more difficult to be thankful. because we take those things for granted. We love to ask God for things. We love to have those things, but do we take for granted the blessings that they had? Again, I love that one on there, and I love how it was, you know what, I am so thankful for mac and cheese. That's great. Because without mac and cheese, you go hungry, right? I mean, now for the rest of us, we might go, well, you know, it's okay. But no, there's a need that is there. Do we first recognize the need? There were 10 guys that were in that area when Jesus was walking down the road, and it says that they all suffered from leprosy. Every single one of them, all 10 of them, none of them was different. They were all dealing with leprosy. Leprosy, if you didn't know, it's a horrible skin disease that is pretty much incurable. It is something that you can't just take a little bit of lotion, rub on it, and it would be fine. And that day, when you were given this skin disease of leprosy, you knew that you were going to have to live the rest of your life different. You are now an outcast of society. When you were found out to have leprosy, you would have to live outside of the town. Now, when Jesus comes in, it says that these 10 saw him from a distance and called out at a distance. Why? Because they weren't allowed to be around the rest of the people. As a matter of fact, when they would be walking around, it was required of them by law that they would have to yell, "Unclean! Unclean!" So that everybody understood that you don't go near that person. We might have a little bit of an understanding of what this is. I mean, a very small understanding. A couple of years ago, we dealt with COVID. Remember that? You know, when we heard the word COVID, what did everybody do? It was like, whoa. When someone would come to us, they'd email us, right? And they're like, oh, you know, hey, I just better let you know. I was tested. I tested positive for COVID, so now I have COVID, so now I can't do that. People were so scared that they were wiping down their computer screens. If somebody called you and said over the phone, I've got COVID, you'd hold it out here. You're like, oh, thanks for letting me know. And, you know, and then it was like, you know, there's this time period where it was okay. Once you're past the time period, then all of a sudden everything's okay, right? They would come to church that next Sunday. You'd see them walking in the door. What would you do? You'd kind of walk away. And then they'd see you, and they're like coming up to talk to you, right? And you're counting the feet, aren't you? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. You stay right there. 6 feet of distance. Let's keep it there. Breathe the other way. I mean, we got so scared about that. This is exactly what they were dealing with. It wasn't COVID. This was leprosy. And so when they were found to have leprosy, they had to leave their family, they had to leave the town, they had to leave the village, they had to leave the protection of the wall and go live out in this community of other lepers running around saying unclean. And the worst part of it was that the people in the town are judging the lepers that are outside of the village because they said, you deserve that for some reason. Their belief in that time was that if a person was found with leprosy, it was God's discipline and punishment on them for some sin that they had committed. And so not only did they avoid them because of the skin disease, but they avoided them because now they were on God's bad side. They knew their need. Truth be told, we have needs as well, don't we? When we stop and think about it, we don't have to think very hard. The needs may be varied in different sizes and different things that we have needs. Some needs may be medical. Some may be relational, familial. Some may be material. Whatever it is that we have the needs. And understand that recognizing our need is important to understanding about how to have a thankful heart. Paul tells us in Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7, he says, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your heart and minds in Christ. I love that because he says, you know what? In all prayers, all petitions, everything you bring to God, bring them to God with what? Thanksgiving. Pray with thanksgiving. Peter tells us in 1 Peter 5:7, cast all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. And the psalmist in Psalm 55, verse 22, he says, cast your cares on the Lord and he will sustain you. He will never let the righteous be shaken. God knows we have needs. And here's the greatest part of it. God wants us to recognize our needs. He wants us to bring our needs to Him with a heart of thanksgiving. He says, bring them to me because I care, because I will not let you be shaken. This is the heart of God. And this is where He says, first of all, understand to have a thankful heart, you got to have an understanding of what your needs are. Does anybody here have any needs today? Yeah? Well, then, the next point might sound a little bit weird. Once we understand our need, the next point of a thankful heart is responding to the command. Responding to the command. Now, oftentimes, this is something that we might get off because we think that God needs to respond to our command, which is called a prayer request, right? We can often see it that I'm more than willing to lay those needs down in prayer. I'll tell God what I need Him to do for me, and then I tend to close my ears to what God might say next. You see, what I do is I place that prayer request. I'm like, Lord, this is my need. Here, will you deal with it? And then I walk away and forget about it, and I say, God's dealing with it. But in this story, we see something interesting. These lepers come to Jesus and they say, Jesus, have mercy on us. Have pity on us. Look at us. We're horrible. We have leprosy. This is a terrible life to live. And what does He do? Jesus could have reached out and basically said, come here, let me touch you. He did that many times. Let me touch you and heal you. But instead, He gave them a command. He said, go to the priest. Go to the priest. Why did they have to go to the priest? Because they had to be declared clean. You see, Jesus could have healed them right there on the spot, and then He could have just said, go on your way. The problem with that would have been, if they would have gone on their way, they were still, by law, unclean, because they had not gone to the priest and been evaluated and gone through the process of what it means to be clean. So God, or Jesus, gives them this command. Sometimes Jesus gives us the command, whatever that command might be. In the Old Testament, we actually read in 2 Kings 5 about a guy named Naaman. Naaman was this great warrior, general guy, and he comes down with leprosy. And his servant girl says, well, there's this guy named Elisha. Elisha knows the God of all gods. Maybe if you go to him, he'll heal you. So Naaman goes to the house of Elisha and he knocks on the door and he says, Elisha, I'm here. I'm told that you can heal me. Your God can heal me. And Elisha goes, I've got a plan for you. Go down to the Jordan River, dunk yourself in that 7 times, and then you'll be fine. Now the Jordan River is not necessarily a clean river. And it's really just a river. There's nothing special as far as power in it. And so Naaman looks at this and he goes, what in the world is this guy doing? I came to him just to simply have him pray to his God, let his God heal me, and he's telling me to go for 7 swims. This makes no sense to me. And he was ready to leave. And his servant says to him, well, if you knew it was going to heal you, wouldn't you do it? All right, we'll give it a shot. Lowers himself 7 times in the river, and when he comes up the 7th time, the leprosy is gone. Why? He saw his need. He went to God. He prayed. Elisha prayed for him, actually. But he obeyed the command that was given to him. James tells us in James 1:22, he says, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Now, you might have a need. You might have an issue that you want to bring to God. And God will probably not tell you, hey, you know what? You need to go to the river, you need to go to the lake, and you need to jump in it 7 times, freeze yourself, and come out, and everything will be fine. He probably won't tell you that you need to go to Pastor Tim, Pastor Anders, or myself, and be declared clean of whatever it is. That will probably not be it. But the one thing that we do know is that we have been given the words of God. We have been given the will of God. And one of the things that He says is, in order for my healing to take place, are you obedient to the words that I have given to you? In John chapter 15, verse 7, Jesus Himself says, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, I love this part, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. you realize that, Jesus isn't just simply saying, if you have a Bible and carry it with you wherever you go in your backpack, then I'm a magic genie. That's not what he's saying. He's saying, look, if you are taking my word, if you're taking my commands, and you are putting them into you and you're living them out daily, then those needs that you have will be within my will, and I will answer those according to my will. 1 John 3:21 and 20 through 23, he says, dear friends, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have confidence before God and receive from him anything we ask, because we keep his commands and do what pleases him. And this is his command, to believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and to love one another as he commanded. A big part of having a thankful heart after understanding our need is coming to the place of responding to the commands that God has placed on my life. Like I said earlier, it's easy for me to pray and let it go, close my ears and walk away, and the only thing I want to hear is, you're healed. But sometimes God's answer might be, I want you to do this first. Are we listening to the voice of God? Because when we listen to the voice of God, obey his commands, our thankful heart happens. And then the third thing that comes into play is simply this. We return with praise. This is such an incredible part of this story. When I read this story, I find myself getting frustrated with the nine. How could those nine not come back to Jesus? He just healed them. Because it says, while they were on the way, they hadn't even gone all the way to the priest, but while they were on their way to the priest, every one of them was completely healed. One of them turns around, runs back, falls at Jesus' feet, and begins to thank him and give him praise. Now, this one person was a Samaritan. Now, we don't know exactly what the breakdown of all other nine were, but we know that there had to have been some that were Jews in that group. But one Samaritan, the one that out of all of them would have been ostracized the most, the one that would have been outcast the most, the one that they wouldn't have cared at all about, and the one that actually people would have said, Jesus, why did you heal that guy? Was the one who came back. And so I find myself reading this and going, what in the world were those nine thinking? They had an incredible thing that had occurred. But then as I begin to think of that, I find myself becoming more convicted than frustrated, because I find out that I do exactly what the other nine did in this story. I find that I pray to God and I ask for those things. God, I don't feel good. Or God, my loved one is hurting. God, this is happening. Can you fix this? Can you make this right? And then I just go on to the next thing. I go on living my life, and then when it happens, God answers those prayers. I don't go back to him and give him praise. What I do is I tend to go right into the next need. You heard Psalm 100 earlier, verses 3 and 4 again. Look at the words to this. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. Here's the reality of the situation. If I am truly thankful when I come into the presence of the one who has answered my prayers, I should come in with praise and thanksgiving. I should come in with excitement and joy. I love the song that we sang in the beginning, I Thank God. One, because it's just a really fun song to play and a fun song to sing. But listen to the words. You picked me up. You turned me around. You placed my feet on solid ground. Because you healed my heart, you changed my name. Forever free, I am not the same. I thank the Master. I thank the Savior. I thank God. Do I return to my Savior with praise? Do I enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise? You understand that that is a reference to coming into this place Now, yes, in the Old Testament, it was going to the temple, but it's coming into the place where we meet with God. Do we come in with a sense of excitement for what God is doing and what God has done? Am I willing to praise Him through all of that? In Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15, it says, through Jesus, therefore, let us occasionally, continually offer to God sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that openly profess His name. You see the heart of thankfulness coming into here, because this is what it is. A thankful heart finds a way to give praise to God for everything, even those things that we struggle to find as good. You know, all of the scripture that I've been able to read, one thing I've never been able to find, a time when we are not supposed to be thankful. It's an interesting thing. Nowhere can I find in Scripture where He says, you know what, it's okay to not be thankful here. We actually read it earlier in everything. Ephesians 5:20, Paul even says this, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Everything? Can I really give thanks for everything? I mean, right now, if you're like me, you're probably sitting there thinking, what's the worst thing in my life right now? Who's that person that really frustrates you? That person that when you see them, it just grates on your heart. When was the last time you thanked God for them? Because you need a little sandpaper here and there. How many times? Everything. Be thankful always. Return with praise to God for all of the things that He has done. That brings on a thankful heart. But then we see something that is powerful in this story. Not only do they see the need, not only do they recognize that they have this need and that they go to God, they ask for it, they do it with thanksgiving, they return with praise, but part of a thankful heart is revealing that thankfulness to others. Talking about it, sharing it. Again, it's easy to overlook this point because it's easy to overlook the blessings that God has given us and just move on to the next thing. Again, I do this, and I'm probably embarrassed to even think about how many times it happens. But you ask God for something, He answers that prayer, and you kind of do a, yeah, thanks, okay. And then you move on to the next thing. And you don't even share what it's like. What has God done? We have Thanksgiving boxes here, and this week on Thursday you're going to be sitting around the table, and probably in some of your homes, one of you, you're going to say, Dad, you're going to say, what are you thankful for? Everybody, let's share what we're thankful for. If I were to take the moments right now and to say, what are you thankful for in here? Some of you might say that, you know, I'm thankful for my spouse because you're sitting next to them and you don't want to get the elbow when you say I'm thankful for something else. And, you know, we say the regulars, I'm thankful for my job, I'm thankful for my kids, I'm thankful for this, I'm thankful for that. But what about answers to prayer? When was the last time that we said to somebody else, I need to tell you what God did? I need to bring praise for what God did. I want to tell you something that was really amazing that's happened recently. Twice now it's happened. Monday mornings, a few of us go over and we pray with the teachers at Parkview before school every Monday. What a blessing it is. We meet with about 8 to 10 of the teachers that are there. Every week we make it a determination and we pray God's protection over the school, over the teachers, over the children, over the staff all week. We pray God's protection over that. Twice this year, the teachers have returned to praise God, saying that He answered prayer for protection. And then they would share, here's how He did it. You see, they're seeing what God, they understand the need. They realize what they're doing. They're understanding that they need to go before Him with praise and thanksgiving. And we do that. And then they see the things that He has done. Psalm 105, verse 1, great verse for us to get. Give praise to the Lord. Proclaim His name. Make known among the nations what He has done. We have Facebook, right? We can make known to the nations what He has done. What has God done? What answers has he done? Don't keep it a secret. Reveal it. Share it. In the story, the leper returns back to Jesus and he falls down at Jesus' feet and he thanks Him and he praises Him. And Jesus says one thing to him. He says, "Get up, go. Your faith has made you well." He didn't tell him to go back to the priest. Why? Now, this is what I suspect with this, because of other passages, and we'll look back in a moment. But what Jesus was saying, I believe, to this man was, get up, go home, you go live with your family, and you tell them what has happened. Tell them what Jesus has done. Tell them what your need was and how He healed you of that need. Go make known what I have done for you. Another story that we see with this one is in Mark chapter 5 about the demon-possessed man of the Gerasene region. Jesus comes onto the shore and this man comes out to him and he's broken chains. He's living in the cemetery and all of that, and he's a very legion of demons in him. Jesus heals him, and then afterwards, Jesus, it says in verse 18, starting there, it says, Jesus was getting into the boat, and the man who had been demon-possessed begged to go with him. Jesus did not let him, but said, go home to your own people. Tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how He has shown mercy on you. So the man went away and began to tell in the Decapolis how much Jesus had done for him. And all the people were amazed. Go tell your story. When God blesses us, when God does something that's so incredible, when God even does the little, like opening a box of mac and cheese, tell someone that you're thankful for it. You know, I feel like you don't need a doctorate, a master's degree, or a degree in statistics to know a simple fact. If I concentrate on the things that hurt, bother, frustrate, the things that I don't like, I'm not going to have a thankful heart. That's just the reality of the situation. If I focus on those things, if I'm not returning praise, if I'm not sharing this with other people, then I'm not going to have a thankful heart. But if in everything I give thanks, in everything I praise God, if in everything I find a way, even in those difficult times, to come back to God and say, look, You are incredible. Praise Your holy name. Listen to the word of the psalmist in Psalm 66, starting at verse 16. Come and hear, all you who fear God. Let me tell you what He has done for me. I cried out to Him with my tongue. If I had cherished sin in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. But God has surely listened and has heard my prayer. Praise be to God who has not rejected my prayer and withheld His love from me. I think sometimes we could start with that first sentence. Come and hear. Let me tell you what God has done for me. I believe that if every one of us were to truly sit down and look at this, we could go, I have a lot of reasons to be thankful. Yes, I have needs, but I have the Master, the Savior, and I can thank God. Enter His courts with thanksgiving and praise. We're going to sing a song. 10,000 reasons. We truly do have many things to be thankful for. In the song that we're going to sing, He refers to 10,000 reasons. And one of the things He says in one of the phrases, sing like never before, O my soul. That's a heart of thanksgiving. I want to give us a challenge. You ready for a challenge today? This is a little bit more than a Thanksgiving Day challenge. This week, I want to challenge us to do something that might be uncomfortable. Like I said earlier, it's easy for us to go to the place of, here's what I'm frustrated about, here's what's bothering me, and we go down that list. when you feel that heart rising up in you this week and you want to talk to somebody about the frustration that you have, something that's not being done, someone who's bothering you, can I simply say this? Stop that moment and insert, this is what I'm thankful in this situation for. In every negative scenario, find the reason that you can be thankful. And thank God in those moments. Because the truth is, if we are thinking about what God has done, we will be the one leper that will return. We won't care what anybody says. We'll sing like never before, "Oh my Lord," for 10,000 reasons. You know the song.